I didn't have a chance to get to the service on Wednesday night, so I had a chance to listen to the service on Thursday. And at the beginning of the service on Thursday, there was a word that came forth that had to do with being vessels of honor and being vessels of dishonor. And when I heard that word, I knew exactly what I was going to share this morning, because that has been something that God has been working with me and sharing with me also. And before we get to that, I thought about a vessel, and I went back and looked up the word, and a vessel is just that. It's a vessel, it's an implement, it's equipment, it's an apparatus. In other words, a vessel is something that you use, regardless of what it is. A car could be a vessel, motorcycle could be a vessel, lawnmower could be a vessel. But a vessel is something that is used, okay? And a vessel is something that feels a need. It's something that feels a need. Now, when you think about us as being vessels, the need that we feel is we are the vessel. We are what God uses to spread the gospel. We are what God uses to touch people, to heal people, okay? So we are the vessel that God uses to get those things done. So that is the need that we feel, because without us, God has no one else he can use on this earth to get things done that he wants done, okay? Now, what determines a vessel's value? What determines a vessel's honor, okay? Well, one of the first things that determines its value is its purpose, its design, okay? Now, when we got born again, when we were filled with God's life and nature, our purpose changed, because before then, we were at the beck and call of the enemy. But when we got born again, our purpose, our design then became to bring the kingdom to a lost world. That is our purpose, our design, okay? When you look at the piano over there, it has a purpose. It has a design, okay, just like we do. What determines its value is the material from which it's made. The material from which we are now made is God's life and nature. Okay? God's life and nature. The value is also determined by how it is used. How it is used. Okay? Now, before we got born again, we were being used by someone who placed no value on us at all. Satan placed no value on us whatsoever. And he used us. And you could see by what he does and how he used us that he placed no value on us. On the other hand, God places a great value on us. He understands what we are capable of now that we have his life and nature. But don't forget, the enemy also knows what we are capable of. Then the last thing that determines the value is who uses it. Who's the owner? Okay, who's the owner? Now, Alice, would you mind playing something on the piano for me? She's just going to play anything she likes. Now, when you look at that piano as a vessel, the purpose and design of the piano is to bring forth music. But it only can bring forth music by someone who knows how to use it. Okay? It can only bring forth music. It can only be honored by someone who knows how to use it. Okay? I'm next. Now, wait a minute now. Come on. (Sighs) Thank you. Make sure it was at 12 o'clock, definitely. Now, that was an example of someone that has just dishonored that vessel. Right? I dishonored that vessel because I did not use that vessel in the way it was supposed to be used. Okay? The quality of the vessel was the same. The material that the vessel was used, was made out of, is the same. But how it was used is what dishonored it. Okay? How it was used is what dishonored it. And so I just dishonored that vessel. Are you seeing the picture? You see where we're going? Okay? Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In that word that came out on Wednesday night, and we're going to go over that word, God made it very clear that the vessels that he has chosen for honor by many in the body of Christ are being dishonored. Okay? And when he said that, I went back and looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read through this. It's not going to take very long at all. Look at verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son." Now, he says, "Thou therefore." So when he says, "therefore," there's a lot that went that preceded that that we need to be aware of. Paul talked about how Timothy, you know, his grandmother and his mother, they had the Spirit of the Lord upon them, and the same Spirit was on Timothy. Paul talked about how he had been imprisoned and how things had been done to him. And how we are not to live in fear, but in the power that God has given us. And how he believes that everything that he has done for God, God is going to remember that on the day of judgment. Okay? God is going to remember that on the day of judgment. And he tells Timothy, he says, you need to hold fast the former sound words. He says, you hold it fast. You don't let it go. You get a solid grip on it. Okay? And he says, the things that have been committed to you, by the Holy Spirit, you hold on to them. And then he gets down to verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So that we see here in chapter 2, we already know what's going to be the primary focus of chapter 2. Right doctrine. The same thing that you've heard from me, Timothy, you need to find some faithful men that you can also teach this same thing. Okay? That word commit, it means to place beside or near or set before. So you need to find faithful men and women that you can set the word before. And these will be the same men and women who will take what you have given them the same way I gave it to you, and then they will take it out. Okay, so faithfulness then has to do with not only hearing the word, but doing the word. Okay, faithfulness, hearing the word and doing the word. Verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. No man," look at verse 4, "that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Paul is saying that when you are a soldier, the only thing that matters to you is the instructions that you receive from command headquarters. The affairs of this life, the things that can pull you aside, those are not things that you got concerned with. But see, so many of us in the body of Christ, we are pulled by the world. We are entangled in the world. A good example of this, do you remember the story of Uriah the Hittite? And Bathsheba, his wife, and how David slept with Bathsheba, got her pregnant. And so he tried to cover that up by bringing Uriah back from the battlefield and have him come in and sleep with his wife, hoping that she would get pregnant. And Uriah said, and Uriah, the first night, he slept at the king's door because he didn't want to go home. And then the king sent food to his home and says, "Uriah, go home, spend some time with your wife." And Uriah says, "I can't do that. Not while all the other men are out in the fields fighting. That's where I need to be. Not enjoying the pleasures of my wife." But see, for many of us in the body of Christ, we enjoy the pleasures rather than being out in the battlefield where God really needs us. We are entangled with this life. We are entangled with this life. We are what Luke chapter 8 verse 14 says. We are choked by the cares of this life. We are choked because we are not doing what God wants us to do. We are not warring a good warfare because we have been taken out. We have been so consumed by this life, we are just taken out. So he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that why? That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5. Now in verse 4, Paul uses the analogy of war, being a soldier. In verse 5, he goes to the athletic arena. He says, and if a man also strive for masteries, is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? In other words, you don't win, you don't get the crown unless you play by the rules. Okay? You don't get it unless you play by the rules. Paul says, the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The doctrine that I have taught you, you commit to faithful men. You don't strive for mastering God's kingdom unless you have the right doctrine. You see what Paul is saying? Okay? Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. Roll it around in your mind what I'm saying. And as you do, and the Lord will give you understanding. He will give you the understanding. Remember that Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bond, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying. You're going to see that phrase several times in Timothy and also in Titus. I like to say the word is faithful. The word is faithful. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Why? Because that's what the word says. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. That's what the word says. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. That's what the word says. Okay? Of these things, Timothy, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. What is the context? Committing those things that I've taught you to faithful men who can teach others also. The subverting of the hearers is teaching those things that I have not taught you. You see that? Look at verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Why? So that you won't subvert the hearers. You see it? This means yes. This means no. And this means I'm not really sure just yet, Barry. Okay? Okay? Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But in contrast to studying the word, you shun profane and vain babblings. You want an example of a profane and vain babbling? Can God build a rock that he can't lift? What came first, the chicken or the egg? You know what? Did Adam have a navel? You see what I'm saying? You know, we as Christians, we get mired in stuff like that. Mired. I mean, we can't even pick our feet up because we're in stuff like that. I could have used another word, but I chose not to. And see, our enemy enjoys having us mired in stuff like that rather than right doctrine. Rather than right doctrine. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Who cares? Who cares? I can't, so it doesn't matter. Verse 17. Verse 16 again. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words will eat as doth a canker. Those folks who are not giving the rightly divided word, their words would eat as a canker. And we know that a canker is talking about gangrene. So, in other words, listen to what Paul is saying. When you start getting wrong doctrine in your life, whatever right doctrine is there, it's going to eat away at it and eat away at it and eat away at it until it's no longer there. That's what he's talking about. You have some right doctrine in your mind and in your heart, and then you start listening to folks who are giving you wrong doctrine and giving you wrong doctrine, and you don't even know they're doing it. But slowly it just rips away everything that has been given to you that is right, that is solid, that is on a sure foundation. We're going to see that. That is what he's talking about. Their words would eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. You have to know the truth before you can err away from it. Okay? You have to know it. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and by doing so, they overthrow the faith of others. You see what Paul is saying? By the words that are spoken from the pulpit, by the words that are spoken by teachers and ministers, they can overthrow your faith if they're not based on the things that I have given to you and told you to commit to faithful men who can teach others also. Paul is saying, Timothy, if you are hearing folks teach things other than what I have taught you and what you know that the Holy Spirit has taught you, that can overthrow someone's faith. That can cause them to be faithless. And you know what? Many of us in the body of Christ, we don't need any help in being faithless. We need help in being faithful. That's what we need. But Timothy is saying, listen, if you have someone who's giving you wrong doctrine, they're going to make you less faith, give you less faith, till you have no faith. Okay? Verse 19. Nevertheless, even though Hymenaeus and Philetus did what they did, even though they were spewing out wrong doctrine, even though they were leading folks down the primrose path where God's mercy and grace is not, nevertheless, Timothy, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Look at verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, let me ask you something. And this is not a trick question. I'm not setting you up. Okay? Is God going to create a vessel of honor or dishonor? Honor. Okay? Now, notice what Paul does here. He says gold and silver, some gold and silver, and then he says wood and earth. Then the next phrase says honor and dishonor. So we know then that the honor goes with the gold and the silver, the dishonor goes with the earth and the wood. Okay? Now, when you apply heat or fire to gold and silver, what happens? It melts. It becomes more pliable. You can mold it into certain things that you want. You can do other things with it when it's pliable. Anything you want to do with it, you can do with that. What happens when you add fire to wood and to earth? The fire, it burns the wood. The wood, degenerates, or whatever, what's the right word? It becomes ashes, okay? The earth becomes hard, brittle, okay? You see what I'm saying here? So God is saying, in my house, there are both vessels of honor, vessels that I can use, vessels that follow my leading, and then there are the vessels in my church, in my house, that are not listening to me. They're hard. They're not listening to me. Okay? This is what he's saying. And look at verse 21. You know how I know that's what he's saying? Look at verse 21. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and we're going to look at those these later, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. What Paul is saying, a vessel does not have to stay wood. A vessel does not have to stay earth. A vessel can once again return to being gold and silver. Vessels that I can use. Okay? Vessels that I can use. I need some help, please. Careful. I need help in distributing these. Brother Don, would you help me? Brother Don, would you help me too? I hope I have enough. If I don't, Jason, hopefully he's got some extras. Remember I talked about the word that came out on Wednesday? You know, a lot of times, and for those of you who are listening by the internet, I don't see Donna. I think Donna may have put this on the internet. If not, we can make sure you get copies of that. Many times we get words from the Lord and we sit there and we listen to them as they're being given, but then we don't think too much more about them because we heard it. And most of the time a word like that is not part of the CD that we get unless you know, specifically request it. See, I got this habit. You know, when we receive a word from the Lord and it's one that really pricks my heart, I will sit there and listen to the tape or the CD and I'll type it out until I get it. Okay? And this is one of those words that was important enough that I thought, you know, we really need to spend some time with this one because there are a lot of things in this word that if you're not paying attention, you can miss. Okay? So, let's take a look at this. It says, in my word, I have spoken of vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And we've already looked at verses 20 and 21 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I would have you know that in my kingdom, there are both vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. There are vessels made of gold and silver, and there are vessels made of wood and earth. There are those who bring great honor to me in what they do and what they say. But then there are those who bring dishonor to the kingdom. For just as in a natural family, there are children that make their parents very proud, and then there are children that greatly disappoint their parents. The same is in my kingdom. Those who are vessels of honor are those I can use to bring greater glory to my kingdom. Those who are vessels of dishonor have hewn themselves out cisterns that can contain no water. The water of my life, the water of my blessing, the water of my outpouring. Now, you know, when you listen to this prophecy, this word, you may miss that. Those who are vessels of dishonor have hewed themselves out cisterns that can hold no water. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse 13, we're going to see this cistern that can hold no water. When you look in Jeremiah chapter 2, the chapter starts out by saying, you know, at one point, Israel, you were really doing your best to walk with me. You were really doing your best to hear what I was telling you. But somewhere along the way, Israel, you stopped listening. Somewhere along the way, Israel, you stopped following me. Even the priests stopped giving you the word that I had intended for them to give you, Israel. Somewhere along the way, all of that changed. And then God asked the question, what happened? What did I do to cause you to become this way? And God in verse 11, he says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. They have left me. They are no longer following me. And then God says this in verse 12. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very deathless, says the Lord. Why would he say that? He said, listen, guys, you see what my people Israel have done? And I don't know why they did that. So, pay attention to this. Let this be a surprise to you. Because I am God. I change not. I am the same. And yet, they left me. be astonished at why they would do such a thing. Then he tells you in verse 13, again, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. This is what this is all about, okay? You see this. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have, number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That word forsaken means at one time they were walking with me, they turned their backs, and they are no longer walking with me. They're no longer walking with me. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living waters. Then they, in other words, they didn't like my doctrine, so they have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water. Do you see that? So what they've done is they have rejected me, and they have gone off and started their own thing. That's what he's saying. When you reject me, then you've decided that I'm going to do my thing. Guys, Adam and Eve made that same decision back in Genesis chapter 3. They decided that God, what he was doing was not good enough. Hey, I'm independent. I can make my own choices. I can make my own decisions. I'm going to do that. God is saying, that's evil. Because, see, you have rejected me, okay, the fountains of living water. You've forsaken me. And not only that, you've decided that I'm going to start my own thing. When you are a vessel of dishonor, you have rejected God. You have decided that, yeah, I hear what you say, God. I hear what you say, God. Remember we talked about faithful means not only hearing the word, but doing the word. I hear what you say, God, but I'm going to make a different decision. You have just become a vessel of dishonor. Because, see, you started out as a vessel of honor. When you got born again, you started out as a vessel of honor. You have to choose, ladies and gentlemen, to be a vessel of dishonor by the choices that you make. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're not going to read all of this again, but I want to remind you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, where Paul talks about how the word is faithful. And then he says, you know, you need to put these folks in remembrance of these things, Timothy, and don't get sidetracked by the doctrines and the things that don't matter. Stick to my word, okay? Because if you don't, then you're going to create broken cisterns, okay? Do you see this? You're going to overcome, you're going to overthrow the faith of some. And when you overthrow faith, you create cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is this making sense to you? Are you seeing this? Okay. Back to the word. He says, those vessels of dishonor are the ones that I cannot use, but only for a limited amount. I cannot use them to the extent I desire because they have chosen to make themselves vessels of dishonor. They have chosen to make themselves vessels of dishonor. For you see, when a person comes to me and they are first born again, they are vessels, they are a vessel of honor because nothing yet has corrupted their lives and their beliefs. But as time goes on, they become vessels of dishonor if they continue to turn away, they continue to forsake all that I have given you in my word. All of my children can be vessels of honor, but you must make a decision to stand firm on not just the foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, but also that I have given through my faithful service. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about the cornerstone being Christ and everything is built upon him. But in Ephesians chapter 4, in talking about also the words that I have given you through my faithful servants, look in verse 11. Paul writes, and he gave some apostles, these are verses that you know, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of faith, unity in what we believe, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We don't allow our cisterns to be broken. We don't allow our faith to be overthrown. You see this? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we see then, as long as we hold on to that foundation that we've been taught and we committed to faithful men who are able to teach others also, we are not going to have a cistern that's going to be broken. Okay? Back to the word. You must stand strong upon my word, and if you do, then I will be able to use you because you will be a vessel of honor, bringing honor unto me and my kingdom. Those who persist in bringing dishonor to my king, to the kingdom. Now, based on what we've read so far in 2 Timothy chapter 2, what brings dishonor? Not standing on the word. Not being faithful to the word. Not being unyielding when it comes to the word. You see, we in the body of Christ, we're taught, and I've said this before, so I'm repeating myself. We've been taught that we must be tolerant of others and what they believe and what they view and what they feel. Find me somewhere in Scripture where God was tolerant. I will take you out to dinner wherever you want to go. If you can find me somewhere in Scripture where God was tolerant of someone saying something that did not agree with him. But see, we in the body of Christ, we don't want people not to like us. We want to be liked. We want to be thought well of. God says, I don't care. This is the way it is. And see, if you start caring about what other people say rather than what your Heavenly Father says, you are becoming a vessel of dishonor. Guys, let me tell you something. If I live to be 120 years old, that is still, it's less than that when it comes to eternity. So why on earth am I going to be concerned about what people think about what I teach and what I say when it comes to God's word? God has given us a responsibility. God is saying, you are my vessel of honor. My vessel of honor says what I once said. My vessel of honor does what I want to be done. No compromise. None. Zero. Zilch. We compromise all the time in the body of Christ. Because see, when you compromise, ladies and gentlemen, it's easier to get along. When you compromise, Listen to this. It's easier to tell someone about God when you compromise. Because see, you're not really telling them what they need to hear. You're just telling them about God, generic. It's easier when you compromise. And God says, you are a vessel of dishonor. Because see, a vessel of honor is willing to hit you right smack dab in the middle of your forehead with the truth. Because see, when you see someone's life is on the line, you don't hold back. If you see someone drowning in a pool and you can swim, are you going to sit there and say, I wonder if I should save that person? No, you're going to jump in. You're going to get that person. Guys, we got people going to hell all the time. We're the lifeguard. But if we're not willing to go out there and speak God's word and tell them, you're going to hell unless you accept Jesus. Unless you do exactly what God tells you to do, no compromise. We are vessels of dishonor. We are. And we can sit here in our pews, show our poker faces, but we know God is working on your heart. He's working on your heart. Because we all know there have been opportunities when we should have said something that we did not want to say because didn't want to offend someone. Notice what Jesus said about offense, guys. Jesus says, you have to take offense. You have to accept it. So if I'm speaking the word to you, if I'm telling you something you don't want to hear and you get upset, you took an offense that was not there. You see that? See, as long as you are speaking God's word, as long as you are doing what God wants you to do, there are going to be people who take offense. And you have to decide how important that is to you. If it's important that people be pleased with you, like to have you around, invite you to the parties, then if that's more important to you than drawing a line in the sand, you're a vessel of dishonor. God won't be able to use you. God won't be able to use you. And then one more thing. If God is not using you, I'm going to tell you something, guys. You are going to be the most miserable person on this earth. Because God is not using you the way you were designed to be used. And so you are going to be very unhappy. It's something, there's going to be something in your life that's missing. You're going to say, there's a void, there's a hole in my life. Why is there a hole in my life? Because God is not using me. Why is God not using me? I'm a vessel of dishonor. We don't like to admit we could be vessel of dishonor. But don't forget, guys, remember what he said in verse 21 of 2 Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy, verse 21, 2:21. I'll get there. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. You can come back. You can once again be a vessel of honor. Okay? Back to the prophecy. Back to the word. But there will be a time of judgment. For you see, I will not dishonor eternity with the dishonor that they are bringing to my kingdom now. So there will be a purifying, and I have spoken of this in my word when I said, on the day of judgment, your works will be tried by fire, and and only what remains will enter in with me for all eternity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, he's saying these things in his word, and he's really focusing your attention on particular passages of scripture. And see, when that happens, you need to pay attention to that. He's reminding you of some things that you really need to pay attention to. Remember, he says, consider what I say. Okay. Look in verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed to how he buildeth thereon. You take heed to how you build upon your foundation. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, upon what? That foundation? He shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Okay? So if you have anything that's built upon that foundation, that it's not gold and silver, it's going to get burned. You get no rewards for that. You get rewards for what is there after the fire has done the purifying. Okay? After the fire has done the purifying. Every word that you speak is either going to be a word of honor or it's going to be a word of dishonor. Every word that you speak. Okay? Because Jesus says that every word you speak is going to be judged. Honor or dishonor. Okay? So choose you this day to be a vessel of honor. And I looked at that, and you know the first thing that came to my mind was Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And remember, guys, we're talking about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. In Joshua chapter 24, look at verse 14. Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear ye the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Put away those broken cisterns. Put away all of that doctrine that overthrows your faith. Okay? "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," verse 15, "choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." Now notice he says, are you going to serve the gods that are on the other side of the flood, or are you going to serve the Amorites in the land which you dwell? Remember Paul talked about no man wars, no one who wars entangleth himself. Are you going to be entangled with the Amorites? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to do things so that you can get by in this life without anyone being upset with you? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to take a stand for God? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Okay? So choose this day to be a vessel of honor, a person who decides to stand upon the fullness of what I have said in my word, allowing my word, my truth to be your standard for everything. Let my truth be your standard for everything. Let my truth be your standard for everything. About your life, and if you do, you will be a vessel of honor. And I am able to pour myself more greatly into vessels of honor, says the Lord. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Well, let's look at verse 22. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor." Verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You see this word purge? When you go back and look at chapter 2, you'll see that what we have to purge is the affairs of this life. In verse 4, we have to untangle ourselves from the affairs of this life. In verse 13, it says, if we believe not, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We have to purge ourselves of unbelief. Okay? We have to purge ourselves of false doctrine. Verse 14. We have to purge ourselves of profane and vain babblings. Verse 16. We have to purge ourselves of false teachers. False teachers. In order to be a false teacher, you have to have at one time been a truthful teacher. At one time. Remember we talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus? At one point they knew the word, they taught right doctrine, but at some point they and I tell you what happened. Everybody started looking at them, raising them up, listening to what they were saying. And so they started thinking more highly than they ought to think of themselves. And then they started seeing things in Scripture that was not there. And they started teaching those things in Scripture. And those people who were starting to get in, who were starting to listen to them and really pay attention to them, they started hearing them. And that's when their faith was overthrown. Okay? That's when their faith was overthrown. So false teachers, Satan loves them. Satan loves them. Because who would ever say that Brother Barry was not standing in the pulpit and teaching you everything that was right? Who would dare say he wasn't? If you're not getting with the Holy Spirit to confirm what I'm teaching you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because if the Holy Spirit is not confirming what I'm saying, then whatever I'm saying that he's not confirming, that's false. Okay? That's false. So you have to have a firm foundation on Scripture. Okay? Now I want to end with something that the Lord had given me. And this is another reason why this message just resonated with me so much. Because this word came out on the 30th of September. What I'm about to read to you, I got on the 24th of September. Okay? It says, the time is coming, and it's now come that my warriors will have to draw a line in the sand. My warriors will have to declare my will and say that the compromise will go no further. This is where it stops. As you declare my will over and over again, I can begin to move mightily in the realm of the Spirit to bring my will to pass. But I need warriors who are uncompromising and who are willing to do what it takes to see my will come to pass. In short, I need more Jesuses and more Pauls in this world. For them, my word and my will was everything. Everything else was a distant second compared to what I wanted them to do in this life. They lived to please me, and it pleased me to give them my glory and my honor. In fact, I was glad that they made themselves available to receive it. For you see, my glory and my honor are available to anyone who is willing to receive it. But in order to receive my honor and my glory, you must be willing to set aside everything, and I mean everything, that does not line up with my will for your life. The majority of the body of Christ will never be warriors because they are too involved in this world. They have very little understanding of what happens in the realm of the Spirit, especially when it comes to what they speak. They live too much by what they see and by what they hear. And for many of them, they are not putting themselves in places to hear my word. They don't read their Bibles. They don't have a prayer life. They are Christians only on those days that they are required to be Christians. But for the most part, their lives do not reflect the life that I have given them. They are vessels without honor. You see why that word resonated with me from Wednesday night? They are vessels without honor. They have my life and they have my nature, but they do not have my honor or my glory flowing through them. The enemy knows that they belong to me. Remember in 2 Timothy says that we have his seal. God knows who are his. The enemy knows that they belong to me, but he also knows that they are not living for me. For you see, those who live for me have my honor. You can see it in the realm of the Spirit. And when the enemy sees my honor, he pays attention to that person. He's aware of that person. He keeps tabs on that person. Unfortunately, I do not have enough of the body of Christ walking in my honor. Nothing would please me more than to have thousands and thousands of my children being watched by the enemy. Can you imagine what that would do to his kingdom? Can you imagine the disruption it would cause in how he governs his kingdom? Can you imagine the realignment of resources and personnel he would have to make? When my son was on earth, he was the focal point of the enemy's day-to-day operation. Now magnify that by thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands of my children walking in my honor and my glory would bring the enemy's entire operation to a halt. He would be scrambling, trying to come up with a strategy to deal with the thousands and thousands of Jesus. Listen to what I'm about to read, guys. One sentence. This is the image that I see, and this is the image that I desire the body of Christ to see. You see why that word resonated with me so much? We need to be vessels of honor. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus said that when my Father says go, I start going. I don't ask where, I start walking. When my Father says speak, I speak. I do what my Father tells me to do. I, Jesus, am a vessel of honor. God needs for us to be vessels of honor so that thousands and thousands of these vessels of honor are wreaking so much havoc in the kingdom of darkness that Satan has to take a step back and says, whoa, guys, we got to do something about this. Well, see, right now, he doesn't have that problem. There's not enough of us in the body of Christ creating issues for him. When you leave this place today, make a decision that you're going to be that fly in his ointment. You're going to cause him so much distress that he's going to say, whoa. You know, I hadn't really had to pay much attention to Dave before. But, you know, now he's starting to get on my nerves a little bit. And I don't like that. Whoa, jeez, Jason, you know, Jason, he was okay. You know, didn't stir up the waters very much, but daggum it. I see ripples all over the place from what he's doing now. This has got to stop. And then can you imagine Barry getting in there, Nina getting in there, Don getting in there, Alice getting in there, and just causing havoc in the realm of the spirit for him. That's what our Heavenly Father sees. That's what he wants us to see. My question, ladies and gentlemen, are you willing to do what it takes to see it?